Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Band is Local Natives. The album is Sunlit Youth. That actually sounds like it could be the name of another band, Sunlit Youth, but actually it is the name of their third studio album. I'm into it. That's why they're on the show. The show is the Alt in Our Stars podcast, Billboard's weekly alternative and rock music podcast. I'm your host, Chris Payne, and I sat down recently with Local Natives. We chatted about all sorts of things, obviously a new album talk. This is their first new album in 3 years, and they've changed things up a lot since we last heard from them. They're pretty far from where they were when they were kind of a buzz band coming up, 2008, 2009. They put out Gorilla Manor around that time. That was their first album. Really crowded scene of buzzy indie bands breaking, and they're one of the bands that's held strong. They're still doing interesting things. They're progressing in a way that I'm really into. And aside from music, they talked about a lot of things about the lifestyle of being an artist, of being in a band these days, especially a band like Local Natives. I asked them about opening, supporting for Bernie Sanders on the campaign trail, playing a show for him, being part of a political campaign, and how they feel about Hillary now that she's the nominee. Some other stuff with Local Natives. They've had success in the past on some forms of radio, like satellite radio, but I asked them if having a song on just like actual radio is something that they're really into. I asked them about soundtracks and like movie soundtracks and if that's something that is in their sights, and it is. And I think that speaks for a lot of bands in a similar situation to Local Natives. Also asked them about, or they actually brought this up, about festival lineups and how it actually does matter a good deal to bands, how big the font size is and how far up they are on lineups for things like Lollapalooza and Coachella. So interesting stuff, a little bit of like pulling back the curtain to see what it's like being an artist these days. So I hope you enjoy the show, and want to point out that just in general, Alt in Our Stars business, I'm switching up the format some. So it's been a weekly show, always dropping on Fridays pretty much since we started it, and it's still going to be dropping on average every week, but it's going to be all different days now, not just Friday. It could be a Tuesday morning, could be a Wednesday afternoon. It could still be a Friday. So I think this will make things more fun, a little bit looser, more exciting. So in order to keep up with the podcast, you should definitely subscribe if you haven't already. To do that, you can search for The Alt in Our Stars on iTunes or in the podcast app of your phone. Or also if you're viewing this on billboard.com in the story, just go to the bottom graph and there's a link you can follow there to go subscribe. But aside from that, aside from getting it automatically every week, you can go to the same place and listen to old episodes of The Alt in Our Stars. I've been doing this show for a little over a year and a half now, so there's all sorts of stuff to dig into there. Episodes recently I think you'd be really into if you're into Local Natives. I think you'd be into the Courtney Barnett episode, Mitski episode from a few weeks back, Pup, Modern Baseball. So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. I'm really into this podcast, one of my favorite things I do at Billboard, so thank you so much for listening. And that's it. I leave you here with Local Natives on the Alt in Our Stars. Enjoy. So we are podcasting live, Alt in Our Stars podcast, Local Natives. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming away from Los Angeles into New York. It's a good time of this. Good time to be in New York, I think.
Feels good. Yeah. Feels hot.
It's nice.
That humidity. Not used to that, but that's cool. Handling it.
So it's well, first let's introduce yourselves. Tell the listeners what you play in the band Local Natives.
Sure. My name's Kelsey, and I play keyboards and I sing.
And my name's Matt, and I play the drums.
And you guys are starting to embark, or have embarked a little bit already, on a new album cycle, album number 3.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Exciting.
Yeah, we're pumped. We've already got 3 songs out, which feels great. I don't know. I think we're all really excited for people to hear this record, and we've committed to like a long, like kind of rollout of like trying to tease out new songs and stuff. And I'm getting very anxious and very ready to show the record to everybody.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm thinking when the band started with Gorilla Manor, that was like 6 years ago, you probably even then didn't really tease an album as much as bands tease new albums these days.
Right.
No, yeah, we just, I mean, before Gorilla Manor, we just put like a song on MySpace and then tried to play a million shows.
There weren't a lot of people trying to listen to our stuff back then. Yeah, so we just found a label to put it out, and then we're just pumped that anyone would buy it or listen to it.
Yeah, so there's 3 songs out now, and we'll talk about those. We'll dive into that. I'm interested, though. What was the first song that you had on MySpace?
It was Airplanes.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
And still one of the most popular ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good start, then.
Yeah.
Was that the first song that you guys ever recorded and actually, like, mastered and put together and put out into the world?
Well, so Taylor and Ryan, who aren't here, I started singing with them in high school, and then Matt started playing with us, like, 10 years ago, and we were a high school, we were, like, a young band, like, before Local Natives, and we were just making music, trying to figure out our sound, and I think around 2007, we started writing some of the stuff that's on Gorilla Manor, and Airplanes was one of the first songs that kind of signaled a, I think like a shift or almost like an epiphany for us musically of like our kind of like identity and like what, who we wanted to be. So we basically like started as Local Natives with that song and with all the songs that eventually ended up on Gorilla Manor. And yeah, that was one of the first ones that we wrote in the original quote unquote Gorilla Manor house in Orange County.
Yeah.
Naming the album after where you recorded the album. I feel like that was really a thing.
Yeah.
That was a thing, because there was Animal Collective at Meriwether Post Pavilion.
Yeah.
Or no, that was, well, no, that's a venue.
Yeah.
I'm missing somebody.
Bonnie Bear kind of did Bonnie, that.
Yeah,
with his
he
cabin
did that.
And shit. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
Yellow House.
Thank you.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yellow House, Grizzly Bear.
I mean, we didn't like name the house, refer to it as that. There's no plaque that says Gorilla Manor on the house or anything, but it's just kind of like, it's basically an homage to the two houses we lived in Orange County for a year and then moved to LA, and we all lived in the same house, and we were able to work. I don't know, we found that we were able to work really well together, all being in the same space, and so, I don't know, that phrase or those words ended up feeling really representative of that time and those houses and, you know, how we came up with that record.
And this album, you recorded it, like, hopping around Nicaragua, the Philippines.
An Indiana Jones map?
Basically,
where it's like
when the little plane is going across.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds way more glamorous than it is. I mean, basically, the end of 2014, we got an offer to play a show in Malaysia, and we almost weren't going to take it because we were like, we have to focus on writing the new record. But then we remembered we had a friend of a friend who owns a studio in Thailand, which is just a hop over from Malaysia, and we figured let's just do the show and then pay for, you know, with the fee, studio time in Thailand. And so that kind of marked the beginning of writing the record, and we got so much amazing work done there, and it kind of opened our eyes to taking, I don't know, trying to put ourselves out of our own kind of like space and switch things up and just to see what happens. Cause I mean, you can never predict what you're going to get out of a situation. So we found that the more situations we could put ourselves in that were always like different and we'd have to adapt in some way, really benefited, I think, the writing process.
Yeah, because it's a common thing you hear from musicians where they'll say like, oh, we just really wanted to get out and like be in a new place when we're recording. Do you think it's true? Does place really affect the sound of music you make that much?
I think so. I think it's funny. I always think about how when we were starting and a lot of people would say, oh, you have such a Southern California, like sunny sound or whatever. And we never really like thought about that. Like it was never an intentional thing, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I guess maybe in hindsight, it kind of like growing up in Southern California, it did kind of seep into our creative process in a way.
A song called Sun Hands. That
right,
first album.
Yeah. Right. A lot of sun influences.
Yeah.
Very Egyptian, I guess.
What?
I thought of like the sun god.
Ra. Oh yeah, yeah.
Ra.
Exactly.
Really inspired by Ra.
We're Ra.
Worships cats.
Ra music. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like I was saying before, just like you don't know how. I think we've come to realize, yeah, that the environment does influence the music in some way. So it's cool to just like go somewhere and see what happens. And yeah, I mean, for some reason, I don't know, like you mentioned Nicaragua, and that was a thing where at the end of last year we had what we thought was the record done, and we had again a friend of a friend who knew a place in Nicaragua, and it's called Madeiras Village, and they have this little tiny studio to basically entice bands like us to come
okay.
in and work, you know, there. And it was such an awesome time. We just went out there, basically we're like, okay, let's just try to write a bunch of songs, let's just try to be free and just let it flow and just like, I don't know, just try to write as many songs as we can. And we wrote 10 songs in like 10 days, and it was like a new record for us,
because yeah.
before we would take forever to write a song. And it's I don't know, I guess a testament to being in a new place and just, I don't know, letting stuff flow and just letting stuff fly. Yeah, so that kind of ended the writing of and making of the record, probably, I'd say, in Nicaragua. We used one of those songs.
Yeah, and I'm thinking just in the mindset of being on vacation, you tend to just be more relaxed when you're in a new place. You tend to be in a more positive frame of mind.
Yeah.
That would seem to be very helpful for making music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for
sure. I
mean,
you can get in your own head so much when you're writing, and it's so counterintuitive to the creative process to be stressed out at all, you know, so you need to just, I mean, I guess that's why people smoke a lot of weed. Just like,
I guess that's why.
Just like unwind, de-stress. We don't smoke a lot of weed, but I'm saying, I understand.
Band that came out of LA in 2009, a song called Sun Hands, but does not smoke a lot of weed.
Yep. That's right. That's us. Awesome.
Let's play some of the new album. This is Villainy. First track on the album. I feel like already in the little bit of press that's come out so far for the album, there was a really good Fader piece that ran not too long ago. Shout out to that one. People are talking about this one a lot and how you wrote the song without guitars. So I don't want to harp on that too much, but I think it's pretty interesting given the background of the band. So take me through how that one came along.
I mean, I think we've always tried to stay true to writing music that we would want to listen to and being organic in like our intentions and like let's just like do what we're feeling. And honestly, we haven't been really listening to too many like band rock bands, rock music, like that kind of thing in the last few years. We've all been really drawn into like more like electronica or like hip hop or even some like pop like things. And yeah, I mean, Ryan wrote that when we were doing like some show, and he came up with that like on a plane, and then we like came back and he showed us, and it kind of opened our eyes to, well, you know, this isn't something we would normally do, but this doesn't feel like local natives yet, but it's like we just like want to make it work because we like it so much, and like let's just like fuck it, let's just go for it. And yeah. So like, yeah, that's how that came about. And I think that opened a door to being able to take chances in other ways. Like when people hear the record, I think that'll make more sense, because there's different songs that like, maybe I'm not necessarily saying Villainy is representative of like the sound of the record, but just saying that I feel like it allowed us to take chances with other songs.
So what else? You guys played a rooftop show recently.
We did.
In the hometown.
Yeah.
Take me through that.
Last week, it was... So we've had this rehearsal space in Silver Lake for about 5 years now. We wrote pretty much most of Hummingbird, our second record, there. And it's just this like special little weird bungalow, one-bedroom kind of thing that we've had. And it just kind of fell into our laps, and it's a great location. And we're about to part ways with it, and we've been talking about doing some weird kind of event there for a long time. Just never really panned out, and we decided to paint it. We had a muralist come out and do like the album cover on one side, and it says Local Native Sunlit Youth on it. And then we ended up throwing together this kind of last minute show. We just threw our gear on the rooftop and prayed that it wouldn't cave in, because
it's a pretty janky building.
It's
a pretty,
yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, it
I
used to
that.
Be like dilapidated and like have a bunch of mold, and
yeah, it had vines growing inside, yeah, like Jumanji style.
Yeah, yeah, like it was so. But yeah, and then we just kind of announced it the day before and didn't really know how many people would show up, and thought for sure that it would get shut down after two songs, but we ended up playing for like an hour, no interruptions, and went really. It was incredible. It was great.
I mean, it was as good as that could have possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was... we're worried about the police shutting it down or someone getting arrested or something. Yeah. But like, yeah, nothing happened, and everyone had seemed like the vibe. You feel something in the air, and it just felt so amazing.
It felt really special because, you know, we've really, we really love Los Angeles, and it's been really it played a huge role in this band, and especially in this last record, you know, even though we've made the record in other parts of the world, it's still Los Angeles played such a massive part of it.
We wrote and made the record mostly in Los Angeles,
right,
save like a five or six like trips to other places.
Right. And so just
five or six other countries.
well, two countries, and then like we like rent a house in like Ojai or Joshua Tree, or
yeah,
like some,
right,
these are some like cool areas that are like a couple hours outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. But to just kind of do this weird event and then have these people show up and have this palpable kind of like energy in the air that was really positive, and just kind of felt special. It felt like a really awesome moment for the band, and just felt like that hometown love, and just, you know, reinforced our pure love for Los Angeles. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's drop another new song from the album. Let's play a little Past Lives. So recently you guys did a benefit concert for Bernie Sanders on the campaign trail. So what is your opinion now that like he's officially endorsed Hillary Clinton? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think we were all pretty realistic to what was going on, what was going to happen. I think we called that, you know, like months ago.
Right.
But that was a big decision to... on this record, or just for this stage in our careers, to like, are we going to be involved or not, you know,
mm-hmm,
in the larger conversation? And I think it kind of dawned on us that, you know, I think we have a megaphone that most people don't have, so we might as well use it for something we believe in. And yeah, I mean, it was a long shot. Bernie was definitely a long shot, but yeah, we were all huge supporters and fans, and it meant a lot for us to be able to play that show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that was, what, early June?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess the writing had been on the wall by then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you feel like, I guess, he can feel good and everyone who supported him that, you know, Hillary Clinton's platform did change a lot. And I feel like the Democratic Party has shifted a ton.
Yeah, he pushed things for sure, you know. He really put a spotlight on a lot of issues that, yeah, I think Hillary is integrating into her campaign now.
Yeah.
So that's awesome to see. It's awesome to see that he, you know, he did something, you know, he really affected some change.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, we'll see how much change, but he affected some people talking for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it was really interesting from a journalistic standpoint to follow artists interacting with this election, because normally it's just like everyone getting behind the Democrat. But the fact that there were two Democrats who were really viable this time made
right.
things split between the artistic community, and that I hadn't really seen in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really interesting to see which kind of horse you were backing. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The stakes are so fucking high right now.
Stakes are very high.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you didn't think it was real, and you just like look at Brexit, and then you're like, "Oh my God, that
this could
happen." I think that was like a huge wake up call to us in our situation to see something like that happen somewhere else.
Yeah, what is it like being called on to do something like a political rally that's like official? What does an artist have to go through when you're working with the camp of a candidate?
Well, security was pretty gnarly.
A lot of security.
That was
yeah.
pretty crazy.
A lot of security sweeps.
Yeah. Security sweep. Like, get everybody out of this room, and you have to, like, go through a metal detector, and you, like, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It was a little intense, but it makes sense. These are important people.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't really a focus on the production side of like the show itself.
Yeah.
It was kind of like thrown together, and it was like a lot of problem solving and a little stressful. Like, personally, I was very stressed because I don't know, in my head I'm like, every show has got to be amazing, every show, but like the point of us being there wasn't to put on a show like we're playing at like the Hollywood Bowl or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like we don't have lights, like it's just like us supporting this candidate.
Yeah.
Supporting this movement. So I kept having to tell myself like, it's different, it's like, it's not like, chill out, don't worry.
And is, do you feel there's like an obligation or pressure to give a speech or get real, to go there?
Taylor said it a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Taylor spoke a bit about being there, and I mean, there's, I don't know if it's pressure. It just felt appropriate.
Yeah.
to say some things about and kind of every band and every, they had speakers in between the bands, and
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. I think the older that now we're kind of all in like our early 30s, and I don't know, it feels appropriate to start, or just, I can't like look away from all this stuff going on. Like, it's hard to like be naive, and it's hard to have like those blinders on where, you know, you are young and you just party and you just like don't care or whatever.
Right.
And like, I can't not care now, and just because there's so much going on. And yeah, I don't know, I feel like recently we felt, yeah, kind of compelled to see if we can help in any way. And like, yeah, why wouldn't we? I feel like, you know, and if it's something we really believe in, like there, we felt like definitely believed in being there and all the things, everything we were all standing for. It just felt good just to talk about issues there.
Yeah, you're not just going to be like, yeah, we got t-shirts, merch table.
Got merch at the back.
CDs for sale.
Album coming out. Whatever, why are we here again?
Yeah, thinking back to, say, 2008, the band, it was a year before Gorilla Manor. So the band was around, starting up, a few years in. What do you remember of what it was like for other artists and bands interacting with the election then, with Barack for the first time, going against Hillary and then against McCain?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to say I wasn't as politically conscious back then, and I think it took me a while to kind of get on board and realize how important it is to kind of stay in the loop and try to, yeah, be a part of something that's such a huge deal and it's going on with or without you.
Yeah.
And you can like be a positive like part of it, or you can just like be on the sidelines and, I don't know, just let it affect you without having a say in the matter. And that seems like not good. I'm a very great orator, as you can tell.
So in the end, go Hillary now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We would totally, we're totally on board with Hillary and the, you know, on the Democratic side, and we're all Democrats, and we all, I don't know, we respond, it resonates with us, everything that she's talking about and that our Democratic side is talking about. And yeah, of course.
Local natives, all Democrats, for the record. Silence the doubts.
That's right. Quit saying we're Republicans, because we're not.
Towards the beginning of the podcast, just talking about, you know, taking some time off on the third album, kind of, you know, you recorded in different ways. Do you feel like really reinvigorated to do Local Natives?
You mean having taken like a small break between Hummingbird and this record?
Maybe. Just, you know, like, do you feel like there's like a renewed sense like of purpose, a new worldview, just feeling about being a band? Because you guys have been it for about 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Over. Yeah. I think the overall feeling within the band right now is really, really positive. It feels like we're all in a really good, cohesive place. It feels really exciting. And yeah, just given maybe the response of like the couple songs we've put out and just the feeling, the like we're all super proud of this record. Not that we haven't been proud of the records in the past, but just it does feel a little different this time for some reason. I can't totally put that into words, but
I think we're just like older, and I would like to say that we're wiser, hopefully. We've definitely learned a lot, and I think that the record shows that, and I think that we're, I don't know, more confident about the moves we're making, about the music we're making, and
yeah.
And I feel like when you have that, it's nice when, you know, you have the entire internet and all their opinions and everyone saying, you know, exactly what they're thinking at that exact second, you know, that you can stand behind something, and, you know, if somebody doesn't like something, that's fine, because we're, you know, this is our stamp, this is our statement, and we're definitely really pumped about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was a huge feeling after the Hummingbird record, and we toured the shit out of that record, and it was like a year and a half straight of touring, and we really wanted to kind of get to know our hometown again. It felt like we'd been gone for so long that it was like kind of like wanted to get to know Los Angeles again. Mm-hmm. So there's always like this feeling of, I don't know, like renewing our kind of why we're doing this, all the reasons why, I don't know, we're a band, and
mm-hmm.
and I think that went into the making of the record, where we're like, okay, let's not slam our heads against the wall on like one song for like months on end. Let's like, you know, go into like different like writing groups. Let's let's only work on something that is making us excited and has like momentum, and as soon as it doesn't, just switch to something else, because we know that anything that's worth it, anything that's any song that's really gonna prove itself to be a great song, mm-hmm. is gonna like rear its head later. It's gonna like come back again, because I feel like the good stuff always kind of floats to the surface, and we kind of we're like, let's just trust that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, the vibe on this whole record was like, let's only do stuff that makes us excited, and let's. And that should be the core, because back in, you know, 2008, when no one gave a shit, it was only us who cared.
Yeah.
And the reason we did anything was because it was something that made us really excited and something that we wanted to see another band do, or, you know, and yeah. So I think getting back to that mm-hmm. on this record has made it feel, I don't know, more of a reawakening or reinvigoration for us, for what we do.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, linking back to the mindset, because I'm thinking when you're either in college or just out of college, like you were making that early music, to now it's like, as, you know, in your early 30s, your mindset changes a lot, and you probably, like, think about the future a lot more, and, like, have a lot more going on, like, what you're devoting your life to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the scope widens.
Yeah.
And I think that things that we'd get hung up on before are a little less important now, and they kind of a bit more of a perspective on things that can be really helpful, because I, you know, you can rabbit hole on so many things that can get in your way, and I don't know, it's nice. I mean, we're really lucky to have found like five like-minded individuals that we can all keep each other in check, and we're all, I don't know, really good at that.
Yeah. What are your hopes, goals for the record?
Beat the Chubby Checker record.
Yeah. I gotta go with some dance moves.
Hottest song in the world of all time.
Chubby Checker also in the Billboard office right now recording a separate podcast. Context for those listening.
I want to see him. I don't believe he's there. I don't believe he's still here.
We're doing lessons on the Twist right outside there at 2 o'clock.
Oh my god. No, we could. Well, we gotta figure out a dance move of our own. The local native. I don't know what that'd be.
We talked about, I mentioned sun hands in the beginning of the podcast. I feel like that could have this, like, yeah. in the breakdown, this sort of like a jazz hands kind of thing.
Jazz hands? All right, so we're brainstorming.
Yeah.
We can figure it out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, back, like, to your question.
Also, I feel like goals is kind of an overly, I know I said that, that's kind of an overly formal way to put it, but just what are you hoping for?
I mean, we're all really ambitious, and we want to keep stepping it up with our live show, and like on like at like, you know, try to climb that font size ladder at festivals. Okay. And stuff. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. We want to do this for the rest of our lives, and as long as we can kind of continue some sort of upward trend, you know, that's what we want. Yeah. Whatever that means, like specific goals. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll take what we can get.
What do you think was the biggest festival? You mentioned the font size, the lineup. What do you think was the biggest festival performance you've given so far?
Like, Bonnaroo?
Someone just did like a TBT photo of us at Bonnaroo like 3 years ago, and mm-hmm. that looked. That
was like
pretty
a
good.
Photo from behind the stage, looking out at the crowd, to yeah. a massive sea of people.
I'm not totally sure. Coachella from 2013 was pretty epic. We were on the second stage at like sunset on
yeah.
a Friday night. And
with like
was,
the palm trees
yeah,
desert
that
in the
was,
background.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, you can get, yeah. like, that was so memorable and so like arresting. And
yeah.
Yeah. I hope yeah. to do that again. And now that we're older, now that I can enjoy it more, now that I can be like, I don't know. I think you get older, you're more relaxed in your own skin.
Yeah.
I think that is true, and so I'm looking forward to going back on the festival circuit, and you know, where we're at, no matter where we're at, I'm sure there's gonna be, you know, a bunch of like new faces, a bunch of new people that I can like, I don't know. I think I'm gonna enjoy it more for sure.
Yeah. Is that thing what you mentioned with font size and the lineups, is that a thing that bands talk about?
I mean, Sure. I mean, I think it's on people's minds. It's definitely on. I mean, it's like I said, I feel like we're really ambitious and we want to keep moving up in every way while still doing what we love and, you know, not sacrificing any of that. Right. So that's the dream for sure. You know, and I think we all feel really hopeful. We all feel really good about this record and like are definitely have high hopes for how people will receive it. Cause I mean, we all wholeheartedly believe this is our best record. And I don't know, we've worked harder on this than I think on anything.
Yeah. Any other things that you mentioned festivals, things down the road. What about like radio? Has Local Natives been playing like alternative radio in the past?
Not really.
Yeah.
We'll get on like NPR stations and like Sirius has been really awesome to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, nothing like on like mainstream
like
radio.
Like a K-Rock or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've never really had that in our place in front of us, so we're not really sure what that, because I mean, we're aware that that can be such a game changer for
definitely,
the band, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're definitely not like opposed to if that happens, obviously. that will just continue to help us grow, you know? Yeah,
because I think like Villainy, for instance, would sound right at home with what like a K-Rock plays, like what a big alternative station plays now.
Yeah, you hear that, K-Rock? You want to play Villainy for us, please? Thank you. Thank you very
Done.
Much. I'm going to send you a gift basket. What kind of chocolate do you like?
T-shirt I'll size.
Yeah.
T-shirt size for the entire staff.
You like tank tops? I'm going to make those soon.
Now, yeah. New merch in the works?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Always.
I feel like it would be, you're a summer band for merch.
Mm.
Festival-friendly summer band.
Definitely.
Merchandise speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can write a winter song, but merchandise.
Summer. All tank tops.
Tanks.
Yeah.
Those little, like, kind of baseball hats that sort of, like, rest more on the top of your head. You know what I'm talking about? With, like, the big
brims. We're talking about hats.
Yeah.
Talking about some hats.
With, like, the floral prints on them.
We're talking about dad hats.
Dad hats.
Is that what they call? I know. I can just give, like, a
Is
weird.
Is five panel?
No, dad hats are just like the, I mean, it's like
the hit
what your
city
dad
hats?
Would, yeah, that's like, nice. Yeah, like what your dad
Yeah, would. It's like if you go into like Urban Outfitters, like the sort of hats that they sell there is what I'm talking about.
I haven't heard of Urban Outfitters. Is that a popular restaurant? What is that?
Kelsey's a little behind the times. Sorry, everybody.
I only go to Perkins.
I think it's a restaurant.
It's like an old person restaurant.
Restaurant where I think Local Natives may be able to be heard. Maybe buy Local Natives vinyl there.
Ah, fantastic! Mm-hmm. They're supporters. That's
yeah,
wonderful.
I
That's
think
wonderful
I think they are supporters.
Great.
That's great.
Maybe we'll get a discount.
Oh my god.
Well, cool. That's about all I have on my end. Is there anything else you guys want to throw out there?
What was the inspiration for, well, I know like The Fault in Our Stars, but
that is the inspiration.
That is just, yeah, you saw that and you're like, I need to make a podcast. I need to call it The Fault in Our Stars. What's the connection?
I need something
what do
that's,
we got?
I need something that's going to age really well past 2014.
Yeah. It's funny. We haven't done this successfully yet, but we've tried our hand at writing some songs for some movies and stuff, and so we tried to write songs for that. That was some of those songs were like ended up being seeds for other songs.
Oh,
like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That was like a fun, creative kind of like experiment to see if we could do that. And it's funny, Shailene Woodley spoke at the Bernie Sanders rally,
yeah.
So we got to meet her, and she was really like spunky and nice and super friendly, and that was kind of a trip to see her there.
Yeah.
Talented actress.
Josh Hutcherson, also of YA fame, was a Bernie supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Was he at the rally?
He wasn't. There was another actor that was, he was in like one Office episode as an intern, and I didn't talk to him, but I was like looking at him like,
Wait.
You were close to Michael Scott.
Wait, was he ever known for more stuff down the line, or is that his biggest thing?
That's his biggest thing in my heart.
I don't.
I'm
think,
sure
I think he's
done many
bunch
things.
Other stuff.
I'm sure you know he's known for other things, but yeah, Kelsey, we're all huge Office fans.
Office trumps all. Oh no, yeah. I said it.
Office trumps all.
What's, I mean, I was super into like the first three seasons. What, you know what episode he was in?
He I'm was not in episode 6, 402. He was later down the line, and he was with a few interns. I think I know exactly what episode it was, because it was where Stanley cheats on his wife. It's called Rumors. I think it's episode one of season six.
Wow, I never went that far into the seasons, and I'm so saddened to learn that Stanley wound up cheating on his wife.
Hey, man, you know, he what's he gonna do, you know? He got sick, and he started falling for his nurse, and, you know, life just happens while you're making other plans. Someone said that.
Well, Office got... I mean, you could be totally fucking with me right now.
No, I'm not.
Office got really real with its subplots by season six.
That's what happens, yeah.
I was gonna say that, yeah, making songs for movies and movie soundtracks, yeah, that seems like it makes sense for local natives.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
good fit.
It seems like it has to be like, it has to be so perfect for the scene and right. the vibe and everything that, you know, it's pretty hard to thread that needle of like exactly what something needs. But yeah, I mean, we'd be really pumped to do music for film in some way in the future. I mean, if you're talking about goals, that'd be definitely be a goal of ours to score something someday.
Yeah, recently I interviewed Anthony Gonzalez from M83 because the connection is they did Wait, which was prominently used in Fault in Our Stars.
Right.
In the bench scene. And I was like, oh, what did you think about that? He's like, oh, I loved it. Like, I was at the premiere in the theater, there were teens crying, like...
I cried.
Yeah.
You gotta be a teen to cry.
Teens stole that bench. Did you hear about that?
Wait, what? So what's the bench scene?
It's like when they kiss for the first time, when they're in Amsterdam.
Oh, right.
On this bench, like, in a nice part of the city.
Yeah.
Cool. And then people... I'm just assuming it was teens, but I'm pretty sure it was teens. We can blame them, but people stole that bench, and it was missing for like a week, and then it got found again.
That's amazing.
Something in a movie is going to get stolen. That's right. Still haven't found that diamond from Titanic. You know?
I think that's a good note to end on. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you for having us.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
So hey there, I'm back. It's just me now. That's the end of the interview. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed my chat with local natives, and you should check out their new album. It really is good. Like I said at the top of the show, as far as my show goes, switching up the format, Alt in Our Stars had, since its inception, been a weekly Friday, every Friday post. It's still going to be pretty much every week happening on Billboard.com, only now it's going to be dropping on all different days, surprise drops. So to keep up with the show, you should subscribe, go to either the podcast app on your phone or just go to iTunes, search for the Alt in Our Stars, subscribe there. You can also listen to old archived episodes. We've had people like Pup, Strumbellas, Modern Baseball, Courtney Barnett, Mitski all on the show lately, so you can check all those archived episodes out. And once you subscribe to the show, also, star rating is super helpful with everything we do on the podcast. If you like what you hear, please, please take a little bit of time out because that really helps with things like getting the show noticed more, getting it to show up on iTunes podcast page more prominently. So, and aside from that, just it's really helpful for me doing a podcast every week to hear feedback about what you like and what you don't like and what you think could be done better, what you don't want to hear anymore, things you'd like to hear more of. So all of that, send it my way. Be back very soon with another Alt in Our Stars show. What day will it be? I don't know. You should subscribe. All right, that's it. Bye, guys.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.